Hi, I'm Penny.
And I'm Joe. And together we're
Unripe.
We're two Australian women.
Actually, I'm a Kiwi.
And I'm Italian. We're on the other side of 40 and we've never had kids. We're not experts, we're just like you. We're trying to understand our place in the world, to find a community of women who are childless by circumstance or child-free by choice.
We're here to talk about IVF, being childless and single, childless and married or in a relationship, abortion, losing friends to motherhood, and everything that people just don't talk about on these subjects. Who knew how hard it could be to find a group to talk about this stuff? We are a tribe hidden in plain sight. So we're going to talk about it all.
The good.
The bad.
The freedom.
The loneliness.
The judgment.
And the possibilities when you're a childless woman.
We want to make these conversations part of the mainstream.
We invite you to join us. Hi, Joe, and welcome back to another week at Unripe.
Hi, Penny. Welcome back, everyone. It's great to have you with us.
It is. And you know what? This week we're going to talk about our childless and child-free community and what the future looks like for us.
Yeah, and we have a special guest today, Anne Barrett. Anne is, well, she's a lot of things. We talked about kinesiology with her and how she helps a lot of people, but also how she helps childless women look at their lives and manage their stress levels and manage the way they look at their future through the different modalities that she practices. One of them is kinesiology. She also works with NLP.
A range of things,
which is really fascinating. So we'll be talking to her a little bit later on.
Yeah, Anne Barrett from Empowering Health.
That's right. So today, yeah, we're talking about our future. On previous episodes, I've always talked about how when I stopped IVF or when I was in the middle of IVF, I used to Google, what am I going to do with my life? Remember, you could ask Jeeves, hey, Jeeves, what am I going to do with my life? But instead I'd ask Google, what does my future bring? How should I plan my future? You know, shit like that. Did you do that?
No.
Did you never Google?
No.
What is my life purpose?
No.
Am I alone? Can someone tell me if you've ever done that?
Doesn't mean. Maybe I just hadn't got to that point of thinking about, is that something that I need to do yet? I've just been trying to get through this stage of my life.
Right.
Maybe that's what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
I too will be Googling.
But let's
find out if we've got the answers and if we actually need to Google. And maybe Jo can tell us. What did Google tell her?
Yeah, so our future, what does it look like? What does it look like for women whose purpose hasn't been, I like to say that our purpose hasn't been formed easily for us.
It'll be different for those who are child-free by choice and those who are childless by circumstance, because child-free have had for a long time known what their future would be like without children, or had more time to prepare for what that future would look like. Up until my late 30s, my plan was to have children. I hadn't thought about what that future would look like without children and planned for that. I think that key word for me looking into the future is fulfillment and how I take that and give that back. Part of doing this, the Unripe Project, is finding your voice. Like, it's finding what you are passionate and have a voice to talk about and not feel like, gosh, if I don't have children, I don't have anything to talk about, which is maybe what I felt for a period of time. You know, you'd sit kind of on the side going, shit, if I don't have kids, how am I, can't give any serious contribution to conversation, which is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
You know, I need to look back at that person and give them a bit of a shake and go, come on, girl, you've got so much going on.
But you know, it's the J word. It's a journey. You need to get through all of that to be able to come to the end of it and go, oh, I wish I knew then.
Is it the alchemist?
Yeah?
The whole purpose of is kind of starting from A and going almost like going around the globe and coming back to A, having done all of these things and realizing that what you had was right back at your beginning point.
Hey, Penny. Is it stats time?
Stats for today on what does our future look like. What I've really done is gone and looked at some of the different articles where these people who are in our 60s and 70s have written comments about what their future is now without children. So what I'm going to do is share some of those comments.
Cool.
So this particular one came from the New York Times from Joanne. Over my life of 62 years, I've gone from being heartbroken to relieved to proud that I never had children. I like that progression. Carson, I'm a 66-year-old woman who chose not to have children and I've never regretted it for a minute. Friends, lovers, professional colleagues, siblings, nieces and nephews, neighbours and other people can be constants in a person's life too. And Retired and Love It says, I'm a retired woman, 66, and never had children. I went to college on the GI Bill and always worked a white collar job. Women like me were considered oddities when I was in my 20s through to my 40s. Instead of having kids, I spent time traveling, owning my own home and doing very fulfilling volunteer work. I was fortunate to be able to retire at 65. I've never regretted being childless. Yay for that.
It's encouraging. That's what it is.
It is. I know. I love it, right? I have lost nothing. I never wanted kids and I'm very happy that I stuck with my decision. I have lost nothing. I am no less of a woman and am the crazy aunt friend to a number of kids who belong to my friends. I regret nothing. That was Josie, who's 55. And then we've got another anonymous one. I am very pleased my husband and I chose not to reproduce. In the 1960s, we became aware of the need for zero population growth. Then through the 1970s, as the world changed, I saw so much environmental degradation. I did not want to contribute to that in any way. Different view that I think is actually going to be more significant for the generation that's following after us. That's something that they're considering more and more. And then life is one big adventure. The only thing I have found along in my life travels on some rare occasions is a subtle form of social exclusion by other women who have children, particularly during my 40s. You don't quite fit in. I sort of found my own way to relate. Life is one big adventure and now people just think I am a happy eccentric. It's Anorian, who's 52. I love that.
Yeah, I like
that. I want to be a happy eccentric. What am I going to be? I'm going to be
a rockstar spinster.
A rockstar spinster.
Who's
a bit of a happy eccentric.
Yeah, I like that.
On my farm with my pig. Have I told you that I definitely want a pig?
No, I didn't know about the pig, no.
For those who are childless by circumstance and move from grieving to embracing the future, it's about resetting goals and finding fulfillment in the great many things that are already part of your life or that you allow yourself to give birth to. When Joe and I started this project, we were talking about what we called ourselves, and Joe loved the play on words in unripe and a juicy peach. I saw the caterpillar in that juicy fruit, but a butterfly emerging from the back as a beautiful new life grows and spreads its wings. I love that picture.
Yeah, our logo.
Okay, so this is about stats, and I've touched before on the happiness factor for childless women. They are burdened by childlessness during their reproductive years, but after this passes, they are more fulfilled and happier than women with children. But this makes me really curious about menopause and the effect this has on the mindset of childless and child-free women. We need to talk about this in another episode, Jo.
I can tell you about menopause.
Okay. I did go out and ask what was the best thing about being childless. And I wanted to do this to kind of see the great things that we have and we embrace within our community. And that is the things that essentially will be in our future. Like those are still the same things that we'll have to look forward to in our future. So I'm just going to tell you what those were. For me, it's about doing what I want, when I want. Freedom. Every bloody thing. Ability to do things on the spur of the moment. Not having to answer questions all day long.
I think that was mine.
I think it was too. Business class travel. Can sleep in. Holidays. Having time to play sport. Not driving kids to their sport. So thank you to everyone who shared those. So I found another really interesting article in Psychology Today. The idea that childless women are somehow less than those with children is not universal. In many West African cultures, women without children are respected and hold an honored place. The Mandinka people of Gambia revere a subset of their population referred to as Kaninglang. The Kaninglang are childless women who act as messengers among communities and song composers. The word is respected, so much so that the Gambia Ministry of Health is partnering with the aid group WAM to train these ladies to educate villagers about Ebola. I love that story. I was so excited to see that. They've got the badge of honour. Someone else who's actually in our community who we have listed as a resource is Judy Graham from Womanhood. And I think that the message around finding our voice was that although we know that there's a growing number of people in this community, there are more people who are, and more women who are writing, speaking, and sharing their stories about being childless or child-free. It can be scary and exciting to start to speak up, but the more visible women without children become, the more we break down the silence and stigma that surrounds childlessness. It's so poignant, and it's so important, I think, to what we're doing too. Let's face it, it's easier to speak up when we have strong sisters walking alongside us. Speaking up publicly isn't for everyone, but when we see and hear others, it can be encouragement to start speaking up to ourselves and maybe to our trusted friends or family. It's so true.
It really is. It reminds me of a conversation we had with a younger woman this week who talked about having not so much grief around her decision to have children or not have children, but having a lot of confusion around it. She's struggling with talking to her family about that decision because they don't agree with her decision. But by being able to speak to people like us and like Judy and like Anne and other people like that, it's important for younger women to also understand that they can have the conversation, that there are other people out there. Because that's the thing that I think a lot of us didn't really think about, because all of our friends were having children. You feel alone and you don't know where to turn. You don't know who to talk to about it. That's why we have to be sisters to one another.
Today, we've got a special guest with us to talk about what our future looks like, and it is Anne Barrett from Empowering Health, an award-winning international practitioner, speaker, educator, and writer. Welcome to Unripe, Anne.
Thank you.
You are really well placed to talk about this topic.
Yeah, well, a lot has happened and continues to happen. Yeah, it's not just, you know, work on it for a couple of weeks or a couple of months and, yeah, you're on your new path. It's like it's an ongoing journey. I am childless, not by choice. And it's this journey that's led me to where I am in life, which is a complete change to where I was before when I was trying to have children. And that journey was probably about 10 to 15 years long of trying to conceive, trying to have a child. I didn't know why. I was going to doctors, I was going to other health practitioners, I was trying anything and everything that I could find and still wasn't successful. I did miscarry and I did try IVF and none of that was helping either. In the end, I had stage 4 endometriosis, which I'd had for a number of years, but for a second time it was growing through my colon. So I had to have emergency surgery to have a hysterectomy and my ovaries removed as well. So that meant a definite end to my trying to conceive. So, and in that time I'd also divorced one husband, been in another relationship, and then met my current husband who knew of my journey and was willing to try to have a child with me. But then I had to have my surgery soon after we married. Having had the surgery, I was looking for support. I asked my specialist and the gynecologist, you know, is there anything for anyone in my situation, you know, who can't have kids now? And they laughed at me at the suggestion that there should be anything or anyone. And so with the hysterectomy as well, I also ended up with depression, besides being distraught at not having the future that I'd planned. And after having spent so many thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars also in trying to get to have children, as well as so many years putting every effort into it to have that come to an end, then try and work out what was next was also really hard. My doctor referred me to a psychologist, but the psychologist, I just could not connect with her at all because she had children. So it's like, well, how can you understand what I'm going through, what I'm feeling? And she just sort of looked blank anytime I tried to suggest, you know, how I might be feeling or what the issue is and what I'm actually down about not being able to be a mum. And I was just going through the motions. It got me out of the house once a week to go and talk to someone. And I thought, I'll give it a go. But I just felt like it was the processes that she followed. And every week she'd give me exercises to do. But none of that I felt really helped because I wasn't getting any answers from anyone. I thought, well, you know, what's next? And the only thing I could think of was to find them for myself because I wanted to get to the bottom of also why I couldn't fall pregnant in the first place. Because obviously, even though I'd had the surgery and had my ovaries and uterus removed, it's like, well, what contributed to that problem in the first place? Like, obviously that hasn't been addressed. So I still had inflammation in my body. I still had pain. So I ended up choosing to learn kinesiology because I had an interest in natural health as well because the medical system wasn't able to give me those answers. So I found that kinesiology and a diploma in kinesiology covered off counselling as well as the anatomy, like anatomy and physiology. So all the basics of how the body works combined with Chinese theories as well. In reality, nothing works independently. So physical pain can even be from a deficiency in a vitamin or mineral. Physical pain could be something emotional, just as it could be the other way around. Our gut talks to our brain, so our gut can have an impact on our mental and emotional state. The body works as a whole, and I think it's important to address it in that way, because otherwise you just get the same problem coming back over and over again.
So what did you learn about yourself?
That my stresses started from a very young age and that it was stress that contributed to my health issues. And today we are all in a constant state of stress where the adrenals are constantly working because we are in such a fast-paced world now. The way our body responds is through a variety of different ways. But one of the things my body was doing was starting to produce more and more fat cells as a way of protecting my organs. And the fat cells are what holds the toxins as a way of protecting those organs. And then just kept on piling and piling on more weight. And I didn't know why, no matter how healthy I was eating and how much exercise I was doing. Then I started having other inflammatory responses, such as like irritable bowel.
When we think about stress, we generally think about being overworked, tired, being financially strapped, arguing with friends or partners, family. But as Anne explains, stressors can be environmental, like sound, deodorant, the food we eat, and chemicals in general. They're the stressors we don't mention and we don't really think about as much, but they can lead to the same detrimental outcomes.
Well, the internal stress that's also started as an external stress because the mind is what creates the pattern and the reaction in the body as well. You know, from a very young age, I was bullied from primary school times. And so, you know, started to have low self-esteem and self-worth and struggled to fit into groups. You know, even prior to that, I had language problems. When I first learned to speak, I didn't learn to speak English. I learned to speak Estonian and went to kindy speaking Estonian.
We have a lot of things in common. I didn't speak English until I was about 5. So yeah, totally get it.
Yes, that's what I've been identifying more so now and has still been affecting me later in life. It's not until I've been doing this work and processing that I've realised that it's contributed to my ability to be able to even speak openly.
You would have people that come to you who are childless. What does healing look like for those women?
A lot of it comes back to self-worth. Also, another aspect is where they're giving too much of themselves. So whether that be to work, to a relative, to their husband, and they're constantly giving, they're giving away their energy. And then the self-worth aspect, sometimes they're not even receiving and not willing to receive. They block that willingness, like even though someone might be trying to help them or even just giving them a compliment and they feel really uncomfortable receiving that compliment, even if it's something small. You know, if you can't even receive a compliment, then, you know, how are you going to receive a child, you know, in that form of conception?
Where does that come from?
It's different for everybody. Like, have they been bullied as a child? Is it, you know, I was also an only child. I didn't learn then how to stand up for myself or debate, you know, have arguments with people. You know, if I don't know how to do that, like I sort of feel fearful if I'm confronted, for example, about something. Between the ages of 0 and 7, we just soak everything in as a sponge. We're still learning how to decipher and determine, or how to make decisions for ourselves and realize what's fact and what's not and what's true, what's not. So as a child, anything that anyone might say, they just take in and might believe. It also comes down to when parents have split. It's been also about when the family has moved house, when the child is between, say, 0 and 5. As well, because they lose that stability and that foundation, which they've known their entire life, like between the ages of 0 and 5. But that's their whole life to them.
I would like to know what recommendations you'd have for women who are facing a future without children.
I'm quite proud of my journey in the way that I've chosen to move forward, but I've chosen to be active in moving forward and choosing to change my life and choosing to find a way of being fulfilled. Whereas I've seen others who get caught up in that grief and feel lost, and they just stay sort of floating in this plane of unknowingness and not having direction. But you have to find that direction. You have to find, you know, what it is that's missing for you, and then find ways of fulfilling that. You know, if you were desperate to have a child, what is it of that experience that you really wanted? For example, you know, is it nurturing? You know, that need to nurture. As women, it's also in our programming to nurture. And then having a child is that ongoing process of nurturing and having someone to care for. How else can that be fulfilled in your life in a different way? So for me, one, having a cat, I nurture and pat my cat so I can hold it literally. It's about, you know, fulfilling it from all aspects of your senses. But then I also now see my business also as my child, and then I nurture my clients. And so I'm helping people that way. Whereas I used to be in a corporate career before doing this, and I couldn't find the answers. So that's why I decided to create my business to help others so that they can live a more fulfilled life, helping to clear their roadblocks.
When I finished IVF, it left a huge gap for me. Up until weeks ago, I was still wondering what my future was going to be about and if I had made the right decision stopping IVF and feeling like I didn't have a place in the world. What is my life purpose now that I'm not a mum?
I can't tell you what your life purpose is, but I can help you to clear your blocks to you finding your life purpose. So essentially my job is just to help to translate what your subconscious mind is telling us, because it knows how to clear these blocks. Identify where your blocks are, and so it opens you up to finding your new direction.
Is that a simple case of someone coming in with that and asking the question, how do I see what my future is? Like, not that we have want a crystal ball or anything.
I would like one.
I know. I like one. But how do I get to be in a place? And sometimes that's all it is. It's about being in a place where you can positively see what that future looks like. Is it that you do the kinesiology and then at the end with the unblocking, someone will walk away feeling like something's been lifted and that those thoughts are freer?
People respond differently. So yes, some people do feel lighter immediately after a session. Other times, because you're releasing blocks, the same as releasing those toxins that have been stored in your body. So they come out into the body from the organs that they've been contained in. And then you might actually struggle for a little while. You might feel worse and even more confused because you've got the toxins going around your body waiting to be eliminated. So you need to drink, you know, of course, plenty of water, have a shower or, you know, Epsom salt bath to extract those toxins. And then you feel better afterwards.
Anne's work is broad-ranging, as are the modalities she uses, whether it's hypnotherapy, EFT or emotional freedom technique, NLP, CBT, kinesiology, or straight-up counselling. Healing can come from so many therapies. For those of us who are going through grief, or simply having a hard time making life's important decisions, like whether to have a baby, or just dealing with pronatalism in your everyday life, complementary therapies can offer a window into alternative streams.
I'm into trying everything. I see naturopaths, acupuncturists, hypnotherapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, Balinese healers. Yes, Balinese healers. You name it, very little is out of bounds when it comes to working my shit out.
The techniques are like so varied, like usually like acupressure type points where, you know, you do touch or do maneuver or of some kind, or a stretch sometimes, or, you know, there are some physical aspects to kinesiology as well.
What advice would you give to childless women who are looking to what their future is? What's your best advice on how to unlock and look to the fulfillment of their future?
Well, one is to know that they do have the answers within themselves already. Two is to choose to move forward. things don't just come to you. They just don't happen. It's like you have to choose to take little steps in some direction. And even if you don't know where that's going to end up, it's just by, you know, taking little steps and reflecting even on things that come up for you. That's why journaling is actually, I think it's discounted a lot, but it's so healing because, you know, you start writing about one thing. Just as like you take one step forward in one direction or, you know, something you don't even think might be relevant. But as long as you take a step each day, it'll then lead you on to another thing and another thing and another thing. And then eventually you'll get there. You don't have to even know what the end is going to be, what it is that you're working towards. As long as you're taking those little steps, makes a big difference and will make it so much easier as well.
I've poo-pooed gratitude journals for years. I know, they're great. They make you smile and focus on the good stuff that you forget to remember. But I just always found them so cheesy until recently when I downloaded the Happy Feet app. And I know that Penny has too. I set a reminder for bedtime and I enter three things that I'm grateful for that day. I can add photos and it even shows me my gratitude memories. It's kind of sweet and it's a few moments out of the day to say something kind to myself.
You get what you focus on. If you're constantly focusing on the loss and what you have lost and what you can't have, you'll get more of that in your life. And that's when the journaling comes in with gratitude as well. And so if you do write something negative, even if you start off writing, I am miserable, I am feeling so down, write how is it that you want to feel? And then start just imagining that you can feel that way. And just so you start training your brain and rewiring your brain and your body to respond in that way.
Well, that was just terrific. I think you'll agree that it was really interesting to hear about all the different ways that we can heal ourselves and we can think about moving forward. I remember Steph from World Childless Week saying that moving on, that term felt like it was just wasn't the right term to use about our experience, but moving forward certainly is. It was great to talk to Anne. It was really great to hear about the different ways that she can help people to move forward. We're going to link to Anne and Empowered Health in our show notes. We'll also link to them on our website.
You know, what's really got me thinking this conversation with Anne about the different types of modalities. I mean, this word modality is even new to me.
Yeah, it is new.
Yeah. I know, right? But there are so many different options and therapies. Like I have gone to, you know, you're straight up traditional. I've done counselling and I take, anti-anxiety or anti-depression tablets, but it's pretty traditional.
Yeah.
And here are all of these other options. This has really opened my eyes to what I can look to for the future.
And I think that's the beauty. I think that it's about trying new things all the time. So, you know, they say that it's a sign of madness, if we're allowed to say that word anymore, to keep repeating the same thing over and over again. So, you know, I've gone to therapists, for example, where I've just gone over and over and thought, I'm getting nothing out of this.
Yeah.
So you got to move on. You got to move on to the next thing. And luckily the Australian government does offer mental health plan that anyone is able to get. Just ask your GP for a mental health plan. They'll be able to write one up for you and then you can source a good therapist, maybe someone that a friend recommends or someone that you've heard about. You know, you trial it.
It's fantastic because it actually gives you a reduction on price because you're going through the plan.
Sometimes it's free depending on the therapist. If the therapist is only I know you're looking.
Wow.
Yeah, if the therapist is only charging the government scheduled fee, which is not, no therapist does, very few, you're not out of pocket at all. Mental health is a really big issue. And I think, does mental health lead to childlessness because your body isn't wanting to receive, as Anne was talking about?
And your mind in a place
that
you're ready to accept that that is something that you'd want to bring into your life.
Talking is really important. So whether you're doing it with your girlfriends or you're doing it with your GP or you have a therapist, just talk about it because that's what leads to awakening. As much as I hate being on medication, because you want to be great. You want to be great without medication. I mean, that's the aim. But the reality is medication, especially when you've had a situation like a miscarriage or, you know, coming to the end of your fertility, whatever the reason is, medication has the potential to give you the space to think about life without feeling that you are submerged by a million tons of waves.
Can I say that since I've started taking Lexapro, it has removed so much of the angst and the conversation that I have had space to be able to process what is actually going on in my life and get to enjoy things that I just couldn't see for the fog before.
In our circumstance, that's the aim of medication, to allow you that ability to see through the fog. Because when you are feeling depressed, and I have felt depressed for 35 years on and off, you just can't see anything good. You can't see sunshine. You just see rain. That's it. It's something to discuss with your doctor. A GP is a good place to start, especially if you've got one that you've been seeing for a long time. This episode is about the future. What does the future look like for women who, you know, have not had kids? It's really encouraging to see all these amazing older women living their lives. We sat in on a talk during World Childless Week with the elders, and that was exciting because these were really interesting women.
Diverse and dynamic. I found them full of hope. Like, it gave me hope. I was looking at them going, they are spouting joy. I can feel it coming from them. They're so happy with how this has played out for them and what their lives that they're getting to live.
Part of that is, you know, it's the G word, goals. I was goalless for years. Like, I honestly didn't have goals for so many years. The last few years, I've got a business, it's successful, I've got a happy marriage, I've got dogs, but I was goalless. You know, where do you want to travel to? Meh, who cares? What do you want to do next? Meh, who cares? There's a real movement against goals at the moment though as well. So there's a real movement saying, you know, try and be goalless. But I think that it...
What have you been reading?
No, it's true. There is a movement. Yeah, I guess I read a lot of weird stuff, but there's a movement around just living in the moment and not worrying about...
Well, that's true. That is true. I'm a person who does like to have goals and think about what, you know, my medium, short and long-term plans are. And when I was going through the miscarriage and looking to the future, that totally, absolutely messed with my goals, because what was going to be one set of goals totally got stripped and I had to reset and rethink about what those goals were going to be again.
What are your goals? What are you thinking? I mean, I know we're all stuck in COVID, so our goals are all a little bit dreamy at the moment.
Yeah. Look, I have been going through kind of a period of change, so I'm probably going to talk about that slightly differently. And it's about the space that I've now got created and recognized that I have to go into the future, right? Since I've started speaking about all of this, I know I've said it before, but I've really felt a weight lifted. But I've also found a door open to a whole new set of people and discussions and conversations, which have made me think so much about what I need to do to plan for the future. So maybe it's an aging thing, but it's become so much more important to me to be living a life which involves working in an environment that I'm truly passionate about. I have a lot of passions, right? So I do a lot of things in the community.
You're such a community-minded person, which is the complete opposite to me. I'm so selfish.
I love it though, but I've done a lot of volunteering in the past, and I get that is something which I would highly recommend to anyone listening if you feel like, except you, and you're like, that, and you're getting to be part of the community.
I think that's the key, right? Regardless of whether you're volunteering, it's about the community. I don't love being part of big groups or anything, but being part of a community is super important. And that's what helps with depression as well. So feeling like you're part of something, even if it's something really little.
Can I let you in on a secret?
What?
You're actually volunteering right now.
Oh, yeah.
I know, shock horror, everybody. Jo didn't realize. She's totally going against all of her agenda.
But
you're volunteering right now by giving your time to doing this.
Yeah.
And you're getting a lot out of this, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. We both are, right?
Yeah, yeah. 100%. But I just want to make my point.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So how do we see the future, and will my life change much? I actually don't know if externally it will change much, but internally it 100% will change. Because if I say I can be more authentic in what I do, way too often I held back on speaking about what I thought because it wasn't normal, air quotes. But who the hell is normal? If COVID lockdown is the new normal, then living my truth is my new normal.
Yeah, I totally agree. And look, I've been living my truth for a long time, but what I've realized in the last year or so, and through this project that we're working on together, is that there are other ways of projecting your truth. So my truth is always always been quite brash and in your face and quite mean-spirited in some ways. When I'm backed into a corner, I become the viper. But there's a way of being honest without hurting other people.
Thanks for sharing that too, by the way. I've always found ways to challenge myself and extend myself. And so this new normal for me is very much internal because it's my own way of thinking. I've adjusted my internal clock of how I react to things because we all own our responses to things. But how will that internal present itself externally in the conversations I have and the choices I make? So even though, you know, I've given myself the space to be authentic and I really feel courage in being able to speak my truth about things, it actually means that I have a whole bunch of new discussions and other doors will open because of the kind of conversations that I'm having. Subtly, I held myself back before, but I'm determined and fierce, but I did feel muzzled. The muzzle is off. As I near the end of my 40s, let me tell you, the best is yet to come.
Except for the grey hairs.
I've already got those. Oh, yeah. And I don't care about grey hairs. Do you know, I spent so long telling my mum, sorry, mum, I spent so long telling her that she didn't need to dye her hair because I thought that her hair absolutely looked beautiful and suited her skin tone. So I'm now facing the situation where I'm like, oh, shit, so I can't dye my hair.
No, you literally can.
I 100% can.
You've got straight hair. Straight grey hair looks great. When you've got hair like mine, a frizz ball, it just looks like a lot of pubes on your head. You know, I put makeup on and I sprayed my hair colour on because, you know, we're in lockdown, so there's all the hairdressers are closed. So I've got lots of grey hairs.
And I do know about this product. I do know about this product because you actually did use this on me the other day. And I have to quietly say that I was quite impressed by the transition.
The other thing about the future is this whole idea of plan B. So if we had a plan A, then what's plan B? I struggled with this idea of plan B. I didn't actually get that language until recently. Plan B, I felt, had to be huge. It had to be massive because having a child is massive. So whatever I did to replace that had to be equally as massive.
That's hard to live up to.
It is hard to live up to.
That's setting some pretty massive expectations on yourself. It sounds to me like that would be setting yourself up for disappointment when you don't need to.
This whole idea of plan B having to be huge is self-sabotage in a way. In my head, there was nothing that I could have done that would have equaled having a child. So I just said, well, I'm just not going to do anything. And that's why I was goalless for so many years.
And I think that I put things off because I thought that that would be what my future was. I could kick myself a little bit. If I could go back and talk to my 20s, I would say, do those things, embrace everything.
We're not trapped. We can do what we want. We can dream big and do what we want. Just live life without regrets. I don't regret any of the stupid things that I've done. And I've done a lot of stupid things. I don't regret a single one of them.
Because the stupid things are the things that we learn from. And that's what makes us the awesomeness that we are today.
But the things that people do talk about regretting, older people talk about regretting, is the not doing, the not saying, the not doing, the not experiencing. And then if you're still struggling, I recommend reading Jodi Day's book, Living the Life Unexpected, 12 Weeks to Your Plan B for a Meaningful Life Without Children. You and I are about halfway through the book. And Jodi Day is a real champion for childless women. And you can find a link to that on our website in the resources. So it's really about saying, well, this is my life now. This is my life. And that's what Anne was talking to us about earlier. This is the life we've got. We can either sit still and say, life's miserable. I didn't get what I wanted.
No way.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that simple. Not all of us go from, oh, look, oh, I'm infertile. Oh, well, I'm going to do something else. Yeah, it takes a lot.
Have you had that whole conversation with me a year ago? I would have responded entirely differently.
When you are at that point where you can do it, start going, all right, what do I want now? What do I want? Not what didn't I get? What do I want? Guess what time it is? It's shit that comes up on my feed. And today,
yes, what are we today talking about? Well, today we've been part of an online startup business group, right?
Lady Startup was started by Mia Friedman and her company that owns Mamma Mia. And she has started a business that helps women launch a business in 6 weeks. And we decided with our podcast and our
Unripe community
that we were going to.
Yeah, great idea. And the setup of it has been fantastic. Like, it really breaks down and steps out. It really does.
It really
make make it simple and it has all of the things laid out for you, what you need to do.
Well, let me preface it by saying that it is a great community. So the Facebook group is so engaged and encouraging.
What I'm about to say is that I've become very conscious of how many people within that group identify themselves as mothers. And I start to do an eye roll when everyone who prefaces themselves saying, I'm a mother who is setting up, oh, I've got a mother of four kids. Oh, I'm a... And I felt like, oh no, Joe, we've joined a group that are filled with mothers and we're trying to start a community for people that are women without children. What are we doing?
What did we get ourselves into?
What is this? You know, part of it is about networking, you know, as well. It's a big part of it. I kept seeing all these women who were identifying going, this is nuts.
Are these our people? Oh. Are these our people? And you're right. I've noticed it as well, obviously. It is just for women. So it's women saying, hi, I'm Alice, mother of four, and I'm also a runner, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. That's how people are introducing themselves. I guess it's difficult to see that there's anyone else in the group other than mothers, because women like you and me are not saying, hi, I'm Joe, I'm childless, I have two dogs, two cats, I run two businesses, etc., etc. We don't say that.
Why do women who are mothers feel that it's a need to identify that at the beginning of every statement? What is the added value to that? I don't understand why this badge has to be put on to preface what they're talking about their business. It doesn't make me feel any different about the awesome idea that they've got. Or is it just bugging me? Am I overseeing it?
I honestly think you're overseeing it, because that's the one thing that stands out. You're not seeing that actually there are a lot of women in that group who aren't saying anything about their children as well, because you're noticing what people are saying. You're not noticing what people aren't saying. Because think about it this way. When we launched our name in that group, what did we get?
So you did say this to me and I was getting so annoyed and wound up by every reference then that was being made to mothers. When we put our logo in, we asked what feedback for our logo, right? We had phenomenal feedback. Right? The feedback conversation and commentary was massive.
And it was mothers and child-free, childless women alike.
Well, people weren't necessarily I know you say
Some were.
There were a very few who commented, and those who did were like, I'm a mum, but I've got a friend who would be really interested in this, and others who just made their observation without stating their status, I guess.
I see what your frustration. I totally understand it, because look, it is a badge of honour, though. I know that if I had kids, would I say it? I don't know if I would say it. It's a bit lame. But, you know, you've got to understand that everyone's got their own journey.
I think it's part of this whole pronatalist society. Like, if I wear my badge, if I identify myself as a mother, then I'm part of that club and you might accept me.
Wait, but you know, in my bio on our website, I say I'm a wife.
Is that the very first thing you say?
It's not one of the first things I say.
There's my point. This is where it is, like, one of the first words that you read.
Down the back.
Yeah, sorry, Jeff.
I see your point, though. I see your point. In all, really, shit that comes up on my feed this week is actually a little bit positive, because really the community has been pretty amazing in terms of supporting us every time we post something about our business.
And I have now started to see past the mother comments. But I'm still going to see them. I can't just stop seeing them.
We've just got to be the ones who keep talking as well.
That's the point. That's really good that you say that. You've had your voice for a lot longer than I. I need to keep practicing, sharing, and lifting my voice. Wow, Joe, I think we've just come to the end of another episode of Unripe. I have the best time having these conversations and discussing these topics. Today's one, for me, I was really excited about, because looking at our future and what we want to do with it is so key to the grief that we go through and what we're going to do going into the future without that. Like, that new vision of what life is like, to me, is the whole key to this. And there's so many things, so many more things we could talk about.
So many more. You know, one of the things I didn't mention is that Jeff and I have worked on our wills for the last 20,000 years. We still don't have official wills.
Can I tell you that I haven't done one and I need to?
So bad, because I don't have any siblings. Jeff's siblings are just, you know, too estranged, too far away. What happens? Who are we leaving things to? It's a really difficult topic.
This is a topic that we need to talk more about.
It is
about.
A topic we need to talk about. We'll talk about that in the future.
Let's talk about that. And I think we also need to talk about menopause.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely menopause. Woo! Get me a fan. So, Penny, it's that time. Question of the week. What's our question this week?
Well, this question for this week, we want to look at what is your plan B? And really, that's going to be different for everyone because everyone's in different places, because you might have been child-free by choice or child-free by circumstance, and in different places of child-free by circumstance. Let's ask the question, can you tell us, what is your plan B? What is your future looking like?
And plan B might actually be your plan A. Like, as you said, for different people,
it 100%.
Might actually be the plan A, because there was never a plan B. It was always a plan A, which is live your life however it is you're going to live it. Penny will drop that onto our Facebook page. Well, thank you so much, Penny. It's been, as always, a pleasure to have this day with you.
Thank you, Jo.
Bye.
Bye.
We'd like you to join us on our Facebook page, which is Unripe Community. And if you're childless or child-free, you're welcome to join our private group, which you'll find a link to on the Facebook page. We're also on Instagram as Unripe Community.
If you want to share a story or let us know what topics you'd like to hear more about, please drop us an email at hellounripe@gmail.com. Our website is where you'll find out a bit more about us. Go to unripecommunity.com.au. We would love for you to leave a positive review for us on your favourite podcast platform.